have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
Making Marriage Meaningful. This is your host, Apostle Irvin Whitlow.
Wait, I didn't just clear my throat. What in the world? I become a ventriloquist. What? I done cleared my throat from somewhere else. Hey, everybody. We say welcome tonight to Make Marriage Meaningful. So happy to be elated, if you will, and I'm elated because we are here on Elation Radio, and thank God for Elation Radio giving us this opportunity to share what is near and dear to our heart. I am your host, Apostle Irvin A. Whitlow Jr. with my co-host, Apostle Felicia E. Whitlow. And we are happy to be here tonight to talk with you more about making marriage meaningful. So I need you to tell somebody that we is on air, because we got something we want to say and we want you to hear it on today. Now, let me put this disclaimer out there that I do not claim to be a relationship expert.
Neither.
You said you either?
Neither.
Well, I've just been through enough stuff in relationships that I believe that if you pay attention, you'll get something from it, and it'll help you to better your marriage and to keep you from things that could hurt your marriage. That's for real.
Amen.
The next thing is I want to let you know that my wife would say that this podcast is not, it is real. Nothing fake about it. Nothing fictitious. It is raw. We give the raw, ugly, nasty, dirty truth.
Whether you like it or not.
And it is relevant. When we get through talking, you're going to say, wow, I was just talking about that myself. That's what we do. Ain't that right?
Amen.
Hallelujah. But listen, we don't do this alone. We are graced to have great men and women of God who have great wisdom to share, who have great marriage stories or even single stories that they can help us to better understand how to make marriage meaningful. And that's what they do. So I know good and well that Brother Otis and his wife are here, the Gabriels. Come on and say hello to us tonight.
Well, hello. This is Brother Otis.
Good to hear your voices. Glad that y'all are back on with us. We always appreciate you all and appreciate the wisdom that you share. So we say God bless the both of you really good.
Yay.
Woo! I don't know what happened to the hand clap tonight. Somebody messing up. Where the hand clap for the Gabriel? What's up with that? Now, let me see. If Brother Otis and his wife is here, then that means Reverend Billy is here somewhere. Come on, Reverend Billy, say hello to him.
Hello. Hello. Yes,
God bless you.
Yes, I am here.
All right. Thank God for you. We appreciate you. Let me see. Brother Chuck, I know you got something to tell us. Hey, man, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. Thank you for asking. In living color.
Oh, man, God bless you, man. You know, we just love you, man, because you just bring it real hard and raw. That's what we're talking about. Let's see. Dr. Kimmy, you going to talk to us tonight? I think that's a no. She got quiet. Or did she got a? She have a phone? Her phone on mute. You on mute? Okay. She's got to be doing something else. Anyone else here tonight? We don't want to miss anybody. We want to give everybody a chance to say hello and greet us tonight. If you're here, say hello. Going once. Hello, going.
Right.
Well, three times we've gone in the name of Jesus Christ. All right, so listen, we get ready to get into tonight's discussion. All right, let us pray. Kind Father, we thank you tonight, and we love you for this day and for the blessings upon us. We thank you for keeping us even to this very moment. We thank you for this podcast tonight. We pray that, Father, you would speak, oh God, through each and every individual who is here tonight, that, Father, they will share wisdom that will help marriages. They will share wisdom that will help couples who are considering marriage or engaged to be married, or even those who may be going through a divorce or those considering remarriage, whatever the case is. We pray that, Father, you give us wisdom that will help them in the matchless name of Jesus. And we give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God. Amen and amen.
Amen.
All right. We're going back to our scripture tonight. Again, it's found in Genesis, the second chapter and the 24th verse. That scripture tells us in these words, I got it right here. It says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife. And they shall be one flesh.
One.
Not two, just one.
One.
Yeah, right. One. Okay. And we have been talking, or we started talking last week, from the subject weaving. We started talking about weaving. And I want to reiterate what the definition of weaving is again.
And I told you about talking about my weave. Everybody know I wear weave.
I ain't talking about that weave. No. Not that one. No. It's a different one from that one. Because that one you can comb through.
Oh.
And you can press with a hot press and stuff like that.
Oh.
And you can even wet that. This weave is different.
Okay.
See, this weave is to frequently change direction while moving forward, especially to avoid things that could stop you.
No.
To make by intertwining, to produce by elaborately combining elements. That means you and me sharing things together to make it work.
Oh my.
Or to unite in a coherent whole. That means to unit or to knit together, to bring it together in a coherent whole. And that's what we've been talking about, and we dealt with last week getting past friction and conflict. But at the same time, we understand that some friction is good. Brother Otis was telling us that sometimes friction is helpful. Is that right, Brother Gabriel?
That's right. Many times.
All right.
Well,
yes,
there
sir.
There are many elements that we can look at in different perspectives. And it can be good to understand that some situations that you are practicing on a daily or frequent basis that rubs your spouse the wrong way. And sometimes they will tolerate that, but then once she exposes that to you, you can know not to do that anymore if you value the relationship.
Mm.
You will modify your behavior to please your wife. Many things we do with just something out of habit, but that habit is irritating to our spouses. But it's until they reveal that to us, we will continue to do it. And then that does cause friction in the mind, in the heart, and with being around you. So we will try to reduce the friction and have a smooth operating life together.
Thank you so much. So do understand that while there may be friction in the process of weaving, there is some good friction. So a little bump here and there is not a bad thing. It may just be exposing some things to get things better, or to make things more feasible. One of the things that we talked about.
That's right.
One of the things, what you want to say, Brother Chuck?
I was saying that's right, because friction can generate heat. So if your relationship is cold, it might need a little friction to generate a little heat to warm it up.
Well, you know what? That's amazing that you said that. And not that this is the conversation tonight, but I have known couples who say they purposely fight so that they can have makeup sex. They said it make it more passionate. I've heard that a lot. I don't know how true it is because I don't, you know, I don't fight with this one. No, I won't do that. Uh-uh. No. Nope. I don't want no fights. No. Uh-uh.
What to do with it?
Well, I'm just saying. Anyway, one of the things we began talking about last week is that weaving constitutes four elements, and we begin last week talking about availability, and we talked about how availability is the state of being otherwise unoccupied. In other words, how you have to spend quality time with each other and be available for that quality time. And I must say, Lady Gabriel, that my wife worked a whole lot harder this week at putting the phone away during our dinner time so we could have more quality time. So she did listen to you. Thanks be to God.
All right. Thanks, baby.
But here's the next thing I want to look at. We talked about availability, but I think this is just as important, and that is bearability. bearability.
We all say.
I didn't say beer. I said bearability.
Oh,
big difference, okay? Keep your mind in this thing, please. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. So bearability is capable of being endured. Why is that important? Because there's something that we read in the scripture that we often, I think, ignore when it comes to marriage. And that is that we find it in 1 Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, it tells us this. Watch what it says, because I think this is crucial. 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, starting with verse 4, it says this. It says, charity, that is love, suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, not her own, is not easily provoked, thinking no evil. Watch this. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. And verse number 7 says, beareth all things. If you are in a marriage and you cannot endure the difference that comes from your spouse, there is a problem. Why? Because God did not make any two people to be the same. There are no twins, no triplets, no quadruplets, no quintets, or any other that they might look the same, but they are completely different. So I say bearability because there are different mindsets. There are different ideologies, different upbringings, different educational levels, different financial levels that are in that we have to consider. So in marriage, there is a need for bearability in order to weave, which means that I've got to take what you bring, and you got to take what I bring. I got to take who you are. You got to take who I am. Now, I agree with Brother Otis that there are some things that may need to be exposed so that we can better help each other by adjusting and adapting. I think that's crucial. But there are some things that will always be the same. What does that mean? That if you're a person, listen, if you're a person with a sense of humor, then that's who you are. If you're a person of sarcasm, that's who you are. If you're a person of seriousness, that's who you are. The point is, if you got married, then it was something about that individual that caused you to be attracted to them, to want to be with them. Having said that, if you're going to be married and you're going to weave, there has to be stuff you are willing to endure. I think one time, Brother Otis said something, and I'm trying to remember how he put it, about when couples that were younger got together. They stayed together because they were made to endure certain things. Brother Otis, do you remember how you said that?
Of course, yes. Matter of fact, it's a term that we can use. It is called adaptive tolerance. Adaptive tolerance is when there's a situation, an action about something that we are not that in favor of, but over a period of time, we learn to tolerate it, and then we learn to adapt ourselves, and that's called adaptive tolerance. And we all should have a measure of that for our spouses, because there's something, as you said, that what they call immutable. Mean they're not going to change because it is an inherent part of our personality. For example, for me, I am a pragmatic. I am very practical. When it comes to making decisions, I look at, is it going to be beneficial? Is there a premium? Is it going to be good for us? And if we do that, would it be better for us or worse for us? And I look at it in that particular way. My wife is very emotional and sentimental. And the things she look at the sentimental part of it. So it's a good combination, But if you want some sentiments and to get emotional, don't come to me. I'm going to talk about how beneficial your decision is in addressing this situation. But if you want emotions, you know, the crying on the shoulder and then the listening, she's very, very patient. And then, you know, you talk to her. But I can, you know, she tolerates me. I tolerate her, and it's good. Matter of fact, I learned from that tolerance. But it's called adaptive tolerance.
Adaptive tolerance.
I forgot. He said, Bubba David said, if you want a shoulder to lean on, you go to his wife. Don't come to me.
Okay.
Don't come to me. I'm not going to pat you on the back. I'm going to give you this tough love, and you don't get it.
And, you know, I think that shows where there is a good balance, because I think that bearability requires balance. So that adaptive tolerance is meant to bring balance, because the difference, listen, I'm not, my wife, I don't think she minds me saying this, my wife is a picky eater. I'm not. So I'll tell my wife, I'll say often, she'll say, what we having tonight for dinner? I say, well, you choose, because it's easier for you to choose than for me, because me, I can find anything. You are picky. She's a very picky eater. So I think, you know, and so then when we are sitting down about to get a meal or order a meal or make a meal or whatever, you know, we're sitting there and she's like, huh, let me see, let me think, let me check. Then, you know, yeah, exactly. But, you know, but that's her. Then what's amazing is in the process of all of that, right, she wants me to order something completely different so she can taste what I got just so she can keep what she had. Like, what in the world? But it is. That's the joy. But that's the joy in it, because what you're doing is by weaving, by bearability, you're really learning those things that bring the laughter. You're learning those things that a pastor once told me, bring the pieces together. If you don't have pieces, how do you expect to have something to hold on to? It takes pieces to make something to hold on to. Who else wants to talk to me about bearability or adaptive tolerance?
Well, I can adopt intolerance. Now I can speak on that on a personal basis, on the same line in which we are talking about. First of all, before I do that, I would just like to compliment the high energy that is coming from you and the missus since you crashed that wedding that day. Ever since you crashed the wedding, there seemed to be a lot of high energy in the area. But let me just share this about the adopted intolerance. And we're speaking in terms of sharing time together. The adopted intolerance on my part, I just on the opposite side of the marriage, I'm home alone because he did not have the tolerance for the philandering and my outside activity, whereby I was not at home giving the attention, and she ran out of the tolerance and got a U-Haul.
Uh-oh.
And that being said, I was apparently not paying attention to the needs of the requirement that should have been done at the home as opposed to settling down on the area of becoming one flesh and giving the respect to her that she deserved. And that is a little cliche saying, enough, when come the time when enough is enough. And it's very clear that she had gotten enough, that is a very, very important case, position to be in, to take. There is a personal time where that is, I know now, to be very important. And now I'm in the position of saying, if I had known then what I know now, or if I had acted, well, you know how that goes. And, but the, when the horse is gone, it's gone. And I am reminded of the little nursery rhyme that we used to say in grammar school about Humpty Dumpty, who sat on the wall and fell. And it said, and all the king's men and all the king's horses couldn't put them back together again. And that's the case that there are some things that we do, in spite of how much we feel about you, it just cannot be put together as it was before, because that would be a heavy load of distrust and all the other things that come that cannot tolerate it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
I like to say sometimes I was trying to get into trying to hear you clearly, and I don't want to assume nothing or presume or put anything in your mouth. It takes for some women a lot for their tolerance to build up. Some people are short tempered. They're short. Their attention span is short. They lose interest after so long. So when you become adaptive, it's not per se settling, because some people say, "Oh, I just settle." No, adapting and settling are two different things. Although people try to intertwine the two together. When you adapt, like my husband said, because I'm such a picky, I don't do the beef and the pork. And being married, I've tried to compromise by eating a hamburger. It made me sick. Eating pork, it made me sick, because I haven't had it for so long. But I just can't shut it down, because that's something that I don't do. It's a compromising in that. It's not settling. So you look at compromising, you look at adapting, and you look at settling. They're all three different things, but people try to put them all in the same head. It doesn't work that way. When you compromise, you're working together. When you adapt, you work together. When you settle, you know that's not even what you're supposed to be doing.
Okay.
To settle with something, that means that you're trying to get rid of it. You're trying to get over it. You have taken it. The door not locked. You have taken it, and it is what it is. But, you know, some women just, they don't tolerate a lot of things. You know, just like some men don't tolerate a lot of things. My husband say I snore. I told him I don't. I purr. So he has adapted to that, because there's, again, like Lady Gabriel told us last week. She told me to put my phone up when we having dinner. So I now have three cell phones, y'all. And I'm like, oh my, which one is ringing now? Which one is going off now? And I try to put it up. He has adapted to the fact that I'm on call at any given time. They can call me right now. I have to get up out of the bed and go to a call. Mm. He's adjusting and adapting to that, because that's something new for the both of us. He didn't settle for that. He adapted to that. He compromised with me because I wanted this career. So I think we before we can even get further and deeper into the weaving, we need to understand the three. Some people's tolerance for things are very short. Can tolerate, I can't tolerate pain. Whereas some women can tolerate pain. You have to look at it like that. When you're weaving, you're coming together. It's not oneness. I wish you guys had the opportunity to listen to our vows. They were unrehearsed, unscripted. We said what we felt, and God was giving us to each other. We were weaving together. We wasn't settling. We were weaving, because that was our expectation. So again, I Brother Gabriel and Lady Gabriel told me from the beginning, when I first announced that I was getting married, we have to sit down and talk about these things. We had this conversation, I believe it was back in May. I believe it was. When we're talking about, you have these conversations so that it won't catch you off guard. And when you be, when you become one, the weaving won't be wobbled. It won't be, it won't have lumps in it. It'll be, not all marriages are not smooth, but foundation stays. Can anybody else relate to that? Does anybody understand what I'm saying at this point?
Of course. As a matter of fact, what you're saying is right. Whenever you use a different term, even though they are synonymous, there is a difference in the meaning. And you said that when you begin to weave, it should be seamless. That is when you can talk about these differences in peacetime. Don't wait until you had an argument that lasts for 3 days before you decide to have to sit down and talk about how we are going to settle differences. And I can just give you one really quick. I'm not going to give you the full scope of it, but one way to reduce arguments that works very well for me and my wife, we don't yell at each other. We've only been together a few decades, and so far she's mm-hmm. never yelled at me. I don't yell at her. If there's something that's different, I listen to it. She'll listen. And if we have, it's just in diametrically opposed to one another, we'll sit down. Now, when you sit down to talk about something, it becomes a discussion. And if you sit close to one another, now that will reduce and lower the volume. When you're standing and moving, you will talk much louder. And for men, we move in ways that we like for it to be threatening by slinging our arms out to the side. And that's frightening to women. And that way we want it to be so that they'll stop arguing with us. But if you're sitting down, your volume is lower. And while you're sitting there, you're not going to talk as loud. You're not moving, flailing your arms about. Touch one another. Don't lose physical contact. It is difficult to be angry with your spouse or with somebody you love more than anybody in the world. You promised that before your friends and in front of God, to be angry with them while you're sitting there holding their hand or holding both hands. And allow one another to talk undisturbed. Say, what do you think about this, baby? And she would tell you, here's what I think about it. And she would speak. You can even put a time, 2-3 minutes. Just listen. You're going to be with her for the rest of your life. You got time. Then when she finishes, you tell her how you feel about the same issue. Then it is, what can we do, you know, that can come up with a situation where, you know, we're not at odds with one another about this, but we can incorporate our decision in our lives. But the main thing is sitting down, closeness, touching, and listening. And this listen, we call that listen without defending. You don't have to defend everything, and also and speak without offending. Don't be offensive in your speech. Like, you're the dumbest thing I've ever heard. No, that's offensive. You're off the subject and onto the person. So yes, you're right. Is that even though they seem to be like compromising and settling and tolerating, they seem to be somewhat similar, but there's a big difference in each one.
Absolutely. I think, and I want to make sure this is clear. I believe that bearability should be based upon the love you have for the individual you married. In other words, what I'm saying is, if you say that you love this person and you marry this person, then there shouldn't be too many things that they do that irritate you the wrong way, that moves you the wrong way. I'm serious. There shouldn't be, because if there is, then we have to ask the question, is the love real? Is the love genuine? Because remember, we just read, love bears all things. So that says that when you love a person, then you are capable of enduring whatever entails their personality, whatever entails their verbiage, whatever entails their actions, because that's who they are as an individual. That you, when you marry that person, you have married their education, you have married their experiences, you've married their environment, you've married their ups, you've married their downs, you've married their consistencies and their inconsistencies. You've married that. And so therefore, these are things that you have to do. For instance, let me give you a better idea of where I'm coming from. Bearability says this. Bearability says you have children and your children talk to you some kind of way. And though I may not like it, I deal with it because you deal with it. Now, if you ask me to handle it differently, then you can't be upset if I use my strategy to handle it, because I love you, I deal with that. And so, therefore, I bear with you, or I endure that with you. Because listen, at the end of the day, if you're unhappy, I'm going to be unhappy. If you're hurt, I'm going to be hurt. If you're disappointed, I'm going to be disappointed. Why? Because of adaptive tolerance. Because I am bearing with you the same burden that you carry. I'm bearing with you the thing that has troubled your mind and has troubled your heart. That is bearability. I do it because I love you. And I love you enough to say I do. So I can't now say I do and then, well, this stuff starts happening. Well, I love you, but I ain't going to deal with that. Wait, what?
This is why conversations should happen before people say that. Say I do, because, again, settling, adapting, and compromising. They got to know the three. I believe that in a marriage, you're going to bump heads. That's what happens. Oh, my gosh. Sir, fine. I just think that, okay, let me give you my definition of settling. And I have people on the line that I want to chime in. When you settle for something, you know you've seen the warning signs, you know all the warning signs, you've been hurt by the warning signs, but your response to that is, I'm going to marry him anyway because I can change him. You have now settled. That's not adapting, and that's not compromising. You settle because your mindset is, I'm going to marry him or I'm going to marry her, and they're going to change because I married him. The devil is a liar. That person will stay the same unless God changes them. You cannot change them.
No.
Does anybody else agree with that?
I agree with that. It's said a whole lot. You know, they take a lot of things that don't particularly like, thinking that things will change, you know, as time goes on. You feel like you can change the person. But that's part of the dating process, so you can get to learn to know each other, and, you know, their ways and attitudes and habits.
And I'll go along with that.
That's called postponding.
Go ahead, Chuck.
I said that's called postponding. When you see a situation that you know that you can't appreciate and that you don't appreciate it, but you will go along with it for a moment. But sooner or later, if you push the wrong button, that situation will come again.
Yeah.
So there's a difference between resolving and postponing.
Sister Felisa?
Yes, sir?
I disagree with that on one word. When I married my wife, I wanted her to make a big change. And it did. And that change was her name. Nothing else changed.
Oh, God. Come on here. Come on. And see, with that, I get it. You know, and then you, and now that you've opened the door to that, because we were going to talk about this probably next week. Will we be able? Okay. Anyway, with that, Brother Gabriel, check this out. So it was asked if I would keep my maiden name and just hyphenate or add Whitlow. And I said, I'm dropping my maiden name altogether. Why? Because we're weaving as one. If we're not weaving as two. Excuse me, I'm sorry. We're weaving as two, not weaving as three. Then my father's last name would mean that I'm still connected to that, and I'm not supposed to be. So I became, it was two of us, and we became one with that. So I totally agree. You know, most people may say, well, I'm not changing my last name, and he just go ahead. Okay, but you're not going by what Scripture says. The Scripture does not say, what is the Proverbs 18:22? And a lot of people are saying, he who finds a wife, that's not Scripture. Scripture does not say that. It's what? 18:24. It says, whosoever. He was a whosoever, and he found me. But I wasn't a wife when we got married on September 10th. The preparation was already there. So I was getting taught how to weave. And then when I got with my husband, we began to weave together. So for those that are come back and listen to this on the podcast or listen to this on the YouTube, you have to understand, you have to be prepared for this. This is nothing that, and then sometimes you can't be prepared for it. So it's your mindset. Knowing the difference between settling, compromising, and adapting. I had to adapt, y'all. I had to leave. I was nervous. I was scared. I never lived with a man before. Not moving into, let me retract that. I've never lived with a man in his house. I've always been established because I had children, so the man moved into my home. So I really had to adapt.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, Lord, what's going to happen today? Talking about leaving undergarments hanging up in the bathroom. I said, Lord, what if I leave, you know, one of my top covers hanging in the bathroom? What are you going to say? You know, I'm the type of person that I don't leave my toothbrush uncovered. And she going to say, well, why you got your toothbrush covered? Where are you going? No, I cover it up for reasons. You know, I use two different washcloths. I do different types of soap. Like, Lord, he gonna see all this soap around the bathroom. He got to adapt to that. Then I had to adapt that, y'all, when he take his socks off, he almost folds them up just to put them in the dirty clothes. Who does that? I had to adapt to that.
Wait a minute. Let's not. But since you want to go there, let me say this, because you know she's getting a little too happy tonight with the microphone.
I'm just saying, I'm adapting.
So now here's something that I had to adapt to.
Well, what?
And I wasn't used to it. I can go outside and hang out all day, do whatever I got to do. When I come in, right, I will lay right down on the bed. When she got here, she said, don't get on the bed. Excuse me? Don't get on the bed. Why not? You just came from outside. You want to get on the bed? Take those clothes off. What the world? Wait a minute. And then at that moment, I had to realize this is not the time to be macho man. This is the time to respect and honor what she wishes. Why? because if she's going to care for the home I'm providing, then I have to follow the guidelines that she wants established for the home. Or then we're not becoming a benefit to each other. We're not weaving. So I'm saying that to say that this is what it is to bear all things. You are capable in enduring her thought process. You're capable of enduring what she thinks and what she feels and even what she wills, and vice versa. He's capable of enduring what she thinks, what he thinks, what he feels, what he wills. Why? Together, they are aiming to be one. Let me tell you something. This is one of the worst things I have ever heard. And what I have heard is that it's the wife who's supposed to take care of the house, right? And then and the man is supposed to go out and make the money. Well, in today's time, let's be truthful. The average woman makes more than the average man. It's that simple, right? So therefore, if she's out all day, then she shouldn't have to come home and worry about why there is dishes in the sink or why the laundry hasn't been done or why there's not a meal prepared or something. Listen, it is a shared responsibility. So maybe the man might have to do something Tuesday and Wednesday or Tuesday and Thursday during the week, and she might only be able to do what she can do on maybe on a Saturday and a Monday. The point is, it is a shared responsibility because of bearability, not, well, you know what, you're supposed to do this. You're just, that, listen, ain't nobody married to be nobody's slave.
Come, you made me share my ice cream with you last night.
I didn't make you share my ice cream. I didn't make you. That was the server. He told you to share. I just paid for it. He didn't tell you to share it. He told you should share it. And she didn't share a little. She only shared a little bit anyway. But the point is that's the objective of being bearable. You're capable of enduring. Because if you cannot endure one another, your marriage is not going to last long. You're going to sit there and murmur and complain, and you're going to say, why did I do this? Why did I do that? For what? And then before you know it, you're going to be looking for somebody else. And then you're going to go through the same thing. I learned this secret a long time ago. Wherever you go, you can never go there without you, because you are going to be everywhere you go. Whatever you do, you cannot do without you, because you are going to be involved in everything you do. So therefore, if you're going to get married, you have to learn how to deal with somebody else's difference. And if you're looking for a change when you get married, then be the change you're looking for.
Hmm. You just said a word.
Let me just throw a little bomb to that. If you are going to stay married, and I dropped the mic. Everything that you just said, I said, if you're going to stay married.
That's
if you're going to stay married.
If you're going to stay married.
Well, I won't argue with that. That's why you just DCM.
Just to get married.
Well, yeah, people.
Or just to say, oh, I'm married. Child, please.
And then they wonder why it didn't last long. Well, it doesn't last long if you don't have no intentions of adaptive tolerance. You know, listen, deal with I wish people would learn the importance of dealing with difference. Learn the importance of dealing with difference, because difference will make you able to handle things better. If everyone thought like you, if everyone operated like you, if everyone did everything that you wanted them to do the way you did, there would be no room for growth, no room for improvement. So that is a plus. So therefore, listen, a few days ago, my wife and I were talking about having dinner. I did something that I don't ever do for dinner. I went and had soup and salad for dinner. I don't ever do that. If I'm going to do dinner, I'm going to eat me something. But my wife said, we're going to do something different tonight. She said, we're going to go here and we're going to get this, and that's going to be it. And we had talked about it. We had talked about it. And we got to the point where I was like, okay. And guess what? It came up being fulfilling. Why? Because we did something different. Sometimes we got to learn, we got to understand that durability is a good adjustment, because it's going to leave you in a better place, that you will be more able to endure changes, challenges, you know, conflicts, whatever the case is. If there's no bearability or no adaptive tolerance, you're going to find yourself fighting a losing battle. Anybody agree with me?
I agree with that. I do agree.
Amen.
I agree with that also, and I like what you were saying about that, because there are some things that are going to come up in our lives, and you mentioned them earlier and just now, is about the variables. Every variable makes a difference, no matter how small or how large, it makes a difference. And if you would like to have a concrete example of that, it's bake a cake. And there are certain things that go in a cake, like all this, I think vanilla, what's that called? A little depth of vanilla fluid or something.
Yeah, flavor.
Flavor. Leave it in or leave it out. And you can tell the difference, even though it's just like a half of a teaspoon. And so those things the variables make a difference. But now, if you can, and we adapt to that, we have people from our hometown that have moved to Florida. They love living down in Florida, even though they have to adapt to some unpleasant situations from time to time, and they have learned to do that, and they have adapted well. And those are called hurricanes. People living in the north. We have one friend that moved to Alaska. Wouldn't trade it for anything. Been there for 50, 60 years. And so they're adapting. And then there's some that I like. You mentioned that the wife leaves little things laying around that weren't there before. Now, I have a different view on that. I go in the bathroom, in the main bathroom for us, and there's stockings hanging over here and silk things hanging over there. And I look at it, and I kind of smile. I say, this sure is in the way, but I wouldn't take anything. And I definitely don't want it to ever go away, even though right now it's in my way. And smile about it and be happy about who it belongs to.
All right.
Okay, awesome. Well, I think that there's been a lot to really tackle, and I think that my wife said it best. Know the difference between what is adaptive, what is settling, and what is compromising. Is that correct? Is that what you said? So I was listening to you, so you want to know I'm a good listener. I'm a good listener.
Thank you for that.
Yes, praise God. Hallelujah, because God is good. So if you're going to weave, understand the difference between being adaptive, settling, and compromising. Compromising is negotiating. And if you're not willing to negotiate, then you're trying to dominate.
Oh.
And if you're trying to dominate, you are not seeking a relationship. You are seeking to be a monarch, and I'm going to leave that right there. Listen, again, I never want to take too much time. I just want to share enough that people have something to think about. There are two more parts of this weaving that I want to deal with, and with the help of the Lord, we'll deal with it over the next 2 weeks. But what I want people to do is understand that if you're going to weave, you have to unite. You have to come together. You have to do what is necessary to not only be together, but as Brother Chuck said, stay together. Because we're in a day and time where people are getting together, they're not staying together. Everybody's excited about getting together. Oh, y'all look so good together. Oh, what a beautiful couple. Oh, y'all don't. Yeah, and then the next thing you know, what happened? Well, it just wasn't right. No, it wasn't that it wasn't right. You just chose not to stay together because you didn't do what was necessary to stay together. So bearability. Let that be what stands out in your relationship, in your marriage. You want to adapt to what is necessary. And I have often said that when God said, let me make a helpmeet, someone, he was talking about someone suitable, compatible, and adaptable. Suitable, compatible, adaptable. You're suitable and you're compatible when you become adaptable.
No.
Yes.
I'm suitable.
You compatible?
All the time. I compat all the time.
So you're never combative?
Oh,
okay. I'll just check it. But listen, I thank you all so much for sharing with us tonight. I look forward to more of this conversation on next week, Saturday night, for more from Making Marriage Meaningful. And I will continue to say this. Your marriage will be meaningless until your mate becomes meaningful. Thank you so much, each and every one of you, for sharing with us. Let's be prepared for next week. You're going to like next week's lesson or next week's conversation because you get to really and be who you are on next week. Oh, yes, you will be. You don't want to miss it right here on Elation Radio. I'm telling you, you don't want to miss this. Tell all your friends and tell all your cousins. We're going to be here next week on Making Marriage Meaningful. Now, please do this. Go with God. And he will, go with you. Shalom, shalom. Peace.
Awesome. Shalom.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.